Welcome to this week's edition of Mountain Outhouse News. I'm your host, Jam Jam. This is the craziest to happen in running this week. This week's stories include the Bicentennial FKT, a Hard Rock preview, and is Anton's second coming upon us? We begin this week with a look at a true test of endurance, the Bicentennial fastest known time attempt. We should first talk about what exactly that means, and then we'll reveal who put in an honest attempt. So, the Bicentennial is running 100 miles and drinking 100 beers. Of course, the beers must be minimum 5% alcohol by volume and be 330 milliliters or greater. As posted to the 100 Beers, 100 Miles blogspot site back in May of 2013, the time goal is to complete the task within a 1 week period, but of course, as with any record, some choose to pursue the FKT. Ultra runner Zach Marin took on the challenge attempting to beat 79 hours, 44 minutes, and 26 seconds set by Fast Guy in 2012. He started strong with a first day total of 42 miles and 28 beers. On to day two, and he struggled a bit. He only drank 18 beers and tacked on an additional 27 miles, bringing his total to just shy of 70 miles and 46 total beers. As the next couple days wore on, he was able to complete the challenge in 89 hours, 56 minutes. Not quite an FKT, but he still broke the esteemed 100-hour benchmark, which is basically like running a sub-24-hour 100-miler. Not sure I'd try that one. Ladies and gents, it's Hard Rock Week. I'm here in Silverton myself, and we're filming live from the Goo House. And through a weird twist of fate, I'm sitting surprisingly close on the wait list. More on that in a second, but let's first take a look at some contenders heading into Friday's romp through the San Juan Mountains. This is the silver anniversary of Hard Rock, officially the 25th running, and there were honestly a couple of big threats to this year's event even happening. First, it was the fire near Hermosa, and then a flash flood near Ouray. The Bear Creek Trail out of Ouray is actually still closed to the public, but through some negotiating with the Forest Service and last-minute trail work, Hard Rock has been granted permission to temporarily use the trail just for Hard Rock runners and pacers on race day. We've seen some big names drop out from the race this year, including Killian and Mike Foote recently. This leaves us looking towards Xavier Thévenard as the event's favorite. He already has a sub-24-hour run at Hard Rock from 2016 that only landed him third place. Jeff Browning is fresh off Western States and giving the double another go. I suspect he'll podium. Troy Howard has a couple of second-place finishes out at Hard Rock and should run smart and strong as well. For the ladies, it is also a bit lighter on the competitive side. Granted, there are only a handful of women in the whole field, but look out for Nikki Kimball, Sabrina Stanley, Darla Askew, and Kaori Niwa to be top contenders. So, I was drawn 22nd on the original ELS waitlist this year for Hard Rock, but through a weird administrative oversight by most runners on the waitlist, who did not turn in their Hard Rock service forms, I moved up to 4th and am now sitting 2nd on the waitlist. This gives me a slim but still possible chance of getting in the race by Friday. Either way, I'll be dressed and ready to go, should Dale call my name. Speaking of service requirements, some races have them, some don't. As Eric Schranz of Ultra Runner Podcast put it this week on Twitter, volunteer requirement is an oxymoron and may not be the best way to put it. I like how Hard Rock calls it a service requirement and would also approve of trail work requirement. That is all. Now on to something a little bit different. Volstate took place this past week, the 500-kilometer road race across Tennessee, or the Volunteer State, is the brainchild of Laz and attracts quite the field. You can either go crewed or screwed, depending on if you have a crew or go solo. Grant Mohn smoked the field with a finish time of just 3 days, 22 hours, 2 minutes in the crewed category. For the ladies, Rhoda Smoker was second overall with a 4-day, 12-hour, 5-minute finish. Maybe the most interesting race this year was at the front of the Screwed Pack, with Alan Abbs and Brian Trinkle battling it out for 4 days, 19 hours, 59 minutes. They linked up for the final 70 miles before Brian bested him by just 17 seconds. One other interesting tidbit was reportedly a crewed runner accidentally drinking a Screwed Runner's precious Gatorade, mistaking it for his own cranberry juice. Of course, being self-supported, the Screwed Runner was literally screwed. Although not nearly as epic as the annual Mount Marathon race, another event in Colorado also was inspired by a bar bet from long ago. The Kendall Mountain Run took place in Silverton, running from town at 9,300 feet elevation up to a bit over 13,000 feet. Durango local Dakota Jones took the win in 1 hour 37 minutes and ran almost the same time as his other previous win in 2016. Timmy Parr was second, 6 minutes back, with Jackson Cole in third, in 1:51. On the ladies' side, Lucy Bartholomew, fresh off her third place at Western States, was second to the top of the mountain, but proved to be a better downhiller than local Durango runner Madeline McKeever, winning in 1:59, the fifth fastest all time. Madeline followed suit in 2:01, with Jennifer Malley in third in 2:07. The next stop on the Ultra Trail World Tour took to Switzerland for the Eiger Ultra Trail. The 101K race finally saw Pau Capell take a win after his close calls at both Mount Fuji and Lavaredo, followed in second by American Jason Schlarb. On the ladies' side, Catherine Gotz of Switzerland won ahead of second place Eva Sperger of Germany. The Ultra Trail World Tour in 2018 now ranks top athletes with up to 2 scoring races throughout the year, even if athletes happen to run more than just 2 races. The UTWT calendar is split up into 4 point categories, roughly based upon the prestige and competitiveness of each event. Currently, for the men, Pau Capell is now in the lead with 1,865 points ahead of Dylan Bowman, who has 1,400 points. For the ladies, Kelly Wolf and Courtney DeWalter are tied in first place with 1,700 points. Miao Yao of China is third with 1,565. We'll keep an eye on these things, as there likely will be some shakeups after UTMB. That race alone is worth 1,300 points for the winner. Cody Lind set a fastest known time on the 9 Idaho 12ers. His time of 20 hours, 23 minutes, and 26 seconds bests the previous time set by Luke Nelson and Jared Campbell by a staggering 8 hours, if I'm looking at the record right. The fastest marathon relay was broken last month by a team of sprinters in Kansas City, Missouri. A team of 60 ran for 200 meters at a time on an indoor track, setting an astounding record of 1 hour 30 minutes and 40 seconds. They went 8 minutes under the previous best set in Japan in 1998. The event was organized as a fundraiser and pulled in over $58,000 for charity. And now for a LazCon update. Laz has made it to Nebraska and is in some good company. He is westbound on the 20 and was even joined for over a marathon by Casey Lichtai. Cool to see these two out together. Another man on a long journey this summer is Harvey Lewis on the Appalachian Trail. Lewis, of course, has been going after the 45-day FKT, but unfortunately is now on day 49 at the time of this recording and is somewhere in Maine's 100-mile wilderness and still a ways from the finish line at Mount Katahdin. We shall have a final wrap-up on his journey next week. Davy Crockett, prolific ultra runner from Utah and the source for bringing to light the recent story about the Western States' forgotten first finishers, has launched a new podcast dedicated to ultra running history. It is literally called The Ultra Running History Podcast, and I have to say, his use of sound effects is hilarious in episode 0.
Davy Crockett, the king of the wild frontier.
Hey, who stuck that in as my intro song? Very funny. Wow. Thanks for coming. Well, welcome to the new Ultra Running History Podcast. This is episode 0, my intro episode, and I'm calling it, What's Up With This?
What's up?
Yeah, something like that. So, yes, I'm Davy Crockett. Thanks. Wow, we have a great crowd here today. Okay, let's first deal with the obvious questions. One, am I related to the original Davy Crockett? And I got this question just last week. No, but I'm starting to take over. I typed my name into Google the other day, and I'm result number 13, so I'm catching up.
Wow.
Two, how could a mother name a son Davy Crockett?
Give it a listen over at ultrarunninghistory.com. The USATF 50-mile trail national championships scheduled to happen this weekend at the Cayuga Trails 50 in New York. Headlining the women's field is Sabrina Little, Ellie Pell, and Sarah Kies. For the men, keep an eye on Tyler Siegel, who won in 2016, Michael Bailey, and Kyle O'Brien. Is he finally back? Anton Kropitschka, according to Strava, ran from Leadville to Twin Lakes along the Leadville 100 course, a journey of 38 plus miles in 5 hours 17 minutes, according to a post on Strava this past week. The two-time Leadville champ has not put together an ultra finish since 2015, but could this be a sign of his second coming? Of course, after his run, Anton biked the 21.5 miles back to Leadville. Nice, bro. And with that, thanks for tuning in to episode 102 of Outhouse News. Thanks for tuning in, and we'll see you next time. If you have crazy stories to share or a question or feedback for the show, please leave a comment below. If you'd like to directly support the show financially, consider becoming a Patreon supporter of this channel, or pick up this custom pair of Jam Jam sunglasses. Link below. Have a shitty week.